But now we are joined for our second live interview for the program. We are very happy to be joined today by Isaac Nellis, who is a member of Social Alliance, but also a journalist for Green Left. And Green Left has been doing a lot of fantastic coverage on the whole protest movement against the visit of the Israeli President Isaac Herzog. And so, yeah, we want to have a bit of a discussion with Isaac to talk a bit about the kind of grassroots kind of response to this, to Albanese's invitation to Herzog. Good morning, Isaac.
Good morning, Jacob. Thanks for having me.
I want to kind of start off, hear your kind of comments. We want to kind of hear a bit about the kind of police violence that happened in the New South Wales sort of protests in Sydney. But I guess I want to kind of start off by asking you, can you give us a bit of your kind of comments on about really, you know, when you look at the kind of massive protests that happened in response to Isaac Herzog's visit, it's clear that Albanese in a way has egg on his face. Like the fact is, it's clearly backfired, this whole visit. We all mourned the senseless murder of people in Bondi Beach, but it's clear that this invitation to Herzog hasn't actually contributed to this any kind of social cohesion, and really the kind of response has showed overwhelmingly that people have rejected his invitation. And I guess I want to kind of hear, I guess, your bit of your analysis on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very clear, as you said, that Albanese should not have invited the Israeli president to visit. It underscores how close Labor's ties are to the state of Israel, which has been committing a genocide for more than 2.5 years. And there's this kind of claim that, you know, that Albanese and Labor's been putting around that they invited Herzog to, you know, generate solidarity with the Jewish community who were in mourning after the Bondi attack, and promote this kind of idea of social cohesion, bringing everyone together. But that's just a joke when, you know, inviting Herzog is probably one of the most divisive figures you could have thought of inviting, maybe only Benjamin Netanyahu, or maybe even Donald Trump or someone like that would be up there too. But Herzog, as a president of a state that's been committing a genocide, where we've been protesting that genocide every week, basically, across the country, it's one of the most divisive things that could have been done. And I think, you know, the Zionist groups and the kind of right-wing media and the coalition in government, in opposition, you wanted to use this opportunity to kind of weaponize the tragedy at Bondi, which they were doing from the start, like soon, almost immediately. Even on the day of the Bondi attack, we saw, you know, the Pauline Hansons and the other right-wing figures using that attack to basically slander and claim that the Palestine Solidarity Movement was in somehow responsible, which is actually a completely disgusting lie. There's no connection between the Palestine movement and the tragedy at Bondi. But, you know, they've seen this opportunity that they can kind of spin that line and attack the movement, which has been a very powerful movement with, you know, huge protests over the past 2.5 years, but also just very ongoing and lots of new people who have been coming kind of politicized by seeing what's happening in Gaza and seeing how our government's responsible. So I think that was part of their calculation, to use this invitation to Herzog as another way to kind of further attack the Palestine movement. But I think it's massively backfired for that, because if anything, it's actually reignited the Palestine movement. The huge numbers of protests that we saw on Monday, the National Day of Action, in some towns and cities, there was about 30 rallies in different cities and even small towns. And in a lot of those smaller towns, those were the biggest Palestine rallies they've ever had. And then they're also, you know, very big in the major cities as well. In particular, Sydney and Melbourne were about 30,000 or so each. And then there's been particularly following the police violence, but also as kind of Herzog's visit has travelled to different cities, so it was Canberra, and then last night it was Melbourne. So, and those processes have also been massive. So it's been a massive kind of, it's kind of reignited the movement in that way, and also, you know, revealed the extent to which that the various, you know, state governments and federally as well are trying to crack down on the protests. So obviously the police violence that we saw in Sydney, and then there's also these kind of pushes to ban certain phrases like from the river to the sea in Queensland, and the globalised intifada in a few states as well. And you can see that like people are not going to just let this happen. There's a lot of anger and a lot of people wanting to get out on the streets and protest genocide and also protest to keep our democratic rights.
Yeah, so now that's a good note to kind of end on, this question of democratic rights. Can you give us a bit of an account of the kind of really extreme acts of police violence that we saw against protesters in Sydney on Monday, which I think a lot of people have been looking at it in Melbourne and have been, you know, very horrified. And in fact, I would actually say that probably the violence that happened by the police might have been, you know, one of the big reasons why the protest on Thursday was in Melbourne was so massive, which in fact it was almost as big, or actually possibly bigger or the same size as the protest that happened early in Melbourne on Monday.
Yeah, well, it was completely outrageous and over the top. I mean, yeah, as people have probably seen a lot of the videos, you know, the complete brutality of New South Wales police. But I guess just to wind it back a little bit, we've had these anti-protest laws put in place in New South Wales, particularly in Sydney, since Bondi, which, you know, in and of themselves are pretty outrageous and basically give the police powers to kind of ban protests, well, ban marches in huge parts of the city. And so that's been ongoing. And despite that, we've been able to have quite a few protests in those banned zones. And in particular, the Invasion Day protest, which was absolutely massive in Sydney. The organisers were so committed to marching from Hyde Park to Victoria Park that they had to exclude Hyde Park from the restricted zone. That was a win against those anti-protest laws a few weeks ago. When Isaac Herzog visit coming up, it was again another, we knew it was going to be a big protest, but we knew that the police would be, you know, in there in huge numbers. And when we rocked up on the day, it was a massive police mobilisation. There was like cops everywhere. And I mean, this has been the case at a few rallies this year in Sydney since we've had these anti-protest laws put in. But it was on another level. And as people started to gather in the Sydney Town Hall Square, you could kind of see that the police were kind of lining up around us, and they were flying. They had two police helicopters that were kind of flying low to kind of over, like try and drown out the speeches with the sound of the helicopters. And as the like town hall square filled up, the police kind of blocked off the entrances and exits so that even as more people were showing up, there was like several hundred, maybe even over 1,000 people who were kind of kept away from the main protest, who were wanting to be let in. So you kind of, I was in the square, but I could hear on the edge of the crowd that I was like chanting of people wanting to come into the main crowd and being boxed by police. And then, you know, so we were there, we heard speeches, including some very powerful speeches, including from former Australian of the Year, Grace Tame, and a bunch of activists involved in the movement. And eventually we decided, you know, well, the crowd really wanted to march. And, you know, there's no reason really, other than these kind of outrageous laws, why we shouldn't. And we wanted to march to New South Wales Parliament, which is not a long way. We would have just marched there, had a few more chants and speeches there, and then we would have dispersed. It would have been a really good rally, would have shown our opposition to Herzog. But the police, for whatever reason, they decided that's not going to happen. So they, as we kind of started to head off towards that direction, they completely closed off the streets with like lines of officers. They had the police horses ready. And there was about a kind of a tense like half hour or so where we were kind of like looking for ways, oh, can we get through this police line? Can we march? You know, because that's our democratic right. But then, you know, obviously the police got given some instruction at some point to, you know, clear this crowd out, and so they just started attacking us. They started pulling people out of the crowd and arresting them pretty violently. You've seen some of those videos of people being shoved on the ground and, you know, punched and things like that. They started kind of spraying the OC spray into the crowd pretty indiscriminately. So, you know, a lot of people got hit directly in the face, but even greater number of people just kind of breathing it in the air. Like, I would say hundreds, if not a thousand or so people would have been hit by that type of spray, including myself. And, you know, you can't breathe, your eyes are watering, you can't see. And in that, while people were dealing with being pepper sprayed, that's when the police kind of really started pushing in, shoving people back, telling us to disperse. But there was no way to disperse because we were totally kettled in on all sides by police. So if you wanted to go back the way they were pushing you, there was another line of police back there. So it was totally just designed to give them an excuse to be absolutely brutal with protesters. And we've seen the outcome of that is, you know, a woman with a broken back. There was a woman in her 80s who was hospitalized. There was children pepper sprayed. You know, vulnerable people pepper sprayed. A lot of people with bruises and injury, more minor injuries as well. I think there was 27 people arrested, and I think 10 of those have been charged. It was, you know, there's a lot of videos online. I definitely recommend people check out if they haven't seen them already. But you know, there's things like there was a group of Muslim men who were praying on towards the side of the rally, and the police come in and just start grabbing people off the ground and shoving them around while they're praying, which is another outrageous attack. And it's definitely like I was kind of near the front watching kind of some of these arrests happening, and with the rest of the crowd, and you could see they were targeting, like, majority of the people they were arresting were you know, people of colour or people with Middle Eastern backgrounds. There's definitely a kind of a racial element in terms of who they were targeting, which is, you know, not surprising from New South Wales Police. They've got a history of racism. So after that kind of initial attack from the police, a big group kind of managed to head towards Central Station, which is marching down George Street. So we ended up having a bit of a march down George Street, lots of chants of arrest Herzog, and, you know, whose streets, our streets, and towards Central Station, where we finally managed to disperse. But, you know, you get there and you kind of like, you've lost touch with the group of people you were with, your friends all got like mixed up in the crowd. So there's a lot of kind of worrying about, okay, hopefully my friends and the people that I'm marching with aren't, you know, haven't been arrested or haven't been bashed or whatever. So there's a lot of that post-rally kind of trying to make sure everyone, you know, who was there was safe. It was no surprise that the next day there was a protest at the police station that also had huge numbers, not quite the same numbers as the Monday, but another big rally against police violence. We're seeing, you know, reverberations of the outrage against that police violence across the country in other rallies, but also just in civil society. There's a lot of anger at, you know, how the police treated peaceful protesters. Because I think it's important to remember that we've been marching basically every week for 2.5 years, and all of our protests have been peaceful. We've done marches through the city. You know, it's not like this crazy new idea. But this time the police just decided that, and, you know, with the backing and full support of New South Wales Labor and Premier Chris Minns, who should take the blame for this and should resign, that they decided this time they're going to, you know, crack heads and get violent. So it's all on them. And, you know, hopefully we don't see that kind of violence again. But, you know, it's hard to feel that you're safe from that. But you know, we've just got to keep building the movement for justice against Palestine and stop the genocide, because that's obviously what the main cause of the rally was about. But also, we've got to campaign against this police violence as well, because it's disgusting, and it's part of this broader attack on our rights to protest and democratic rights that we're seeing across the country with new anti-protest laws and laws against protest slogans like "From the River to the Sea, Palestine will be free." So I'll leave it there for now. Yeah.
Do you actually need to go? Are you in a bit of a rush, Isaac?
No, I'm good.
Okay, one question I had is this kind of authoritarian turn by the police comes in parallel to the rise of the far right in Australia and around the world. A lot of those police happen to be wearing Thomas Sewell-style moustaches, and we know from previous investigations that if you look at a Venn diagram between neo-Nazis and the cops, there's typically quite a lot of overlap. Can you comment on this kind of parallel rise of, neo-Nazi organisations and the far right, the massive, growth in support for One Nation, Trump constantly spouting super racist rhetoric from the US, which then gets followed over here. Do you believe there's a link there?
Oh, I definitely think there's a link. I mean, I think the far right, on the ground are so emboldened because those who are in power in, Donald Trump's a good example, but also here, even our Labor leadership in federally, the Albanese government, and particularly in the New South Wales context, like Chris Minns' Labor government are so quick to attack protesters and attack, the left for standing up against genocide. But I think it gives the far right the space to go that extra level, extra step. I don't think Facebook comments or social media comments are indicative of the general mood. But you do see with Green Left posts of these rally videos and stuff and the police violence, you do see a certain section of like trolls and right wing kind of people on there who are celebrating this violence against protesters. And I think that comes from, people, the Trumps of the world, who are, encouraging violence against protesters and encouraging violence generally. I mean, they're fully supporting and backing the genocide in Gaza, which is like the highest expression of violence you could imagine. So I think that they're very much emboldened by that. And I mean, the fact that this protest movement for Palestine has been, championing people who are, Middle Eastern background, people of colour, like there's the element of people who, the far right, who are hating Palestine protests because it's, non-white people who are being protested for, and they see it as this kind of, part of their kind of horrible conception of the world as these kind of racial divisions, and that the Palestine movement has actually been all about bringing people together, opposing racism of all forms, including anti-Semitism. I mean, there's huge numbers of anti-Zionist Jews who are joining the Palestine movement and rallies every week. Mm. And I think that like solidarity that is coming from that movement is actually a threat to these far right racist views that they're trying to propagate, and is a direct challenge to their kind of anti-immigration, like white Australia kind of narrative. So I think that's part of the reason why they're so kind of opposed to the Palestine movement. And this, you hear this idea a lot of, why are we caring about, an issue happening overseas when, we should be caring about issues in Australia. And I mean, first of all, you don't see any of those people actually doing anything about any of the issues in Australia, such as the extreme inequality, things like that. But the other response to that is that Australia is directly involved in the genocide, in arming it, in giving it political support and economic support. I mean, we're still, Labor's refused to stop the weapons trade with Israel throughout this genocide. So there's a lot of reasons why we need to keep protesting. The emboldening of the far right under One Nation is obviously a massive threat. And I think that the Palestine movement and other movements for justice, and a good example, another one would be the huge Invasion Day rallies. That's the kind of counterforce that's showing that, no, people do actually want a society where we look after each other, where we care about, everyone's basic human rights, and we don't let anyone be kind of subjected to this horrible kind of othering and racism that One Nation and other far-right kind of groups represent. So, yeah, I think that's a good question to ask, because I think it's often left out of the kind of mainstream discussion around this kind of stuff.
Yeah, a sort of somewhat related thing, I guess, is the chairperson or spokesperson for the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, Alex Rivchen, came out in the media following the police brutality on Monday night and said that basically the use of the word intifada or globalised the intifada equals protesters calling for terrorism against Israel. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's this kind of ridiculous thing that's been going on for a long time now, where the media, particularly the kind of the right wing media, but the other media will often just kind of repeat this, where they take slogans like, globalize the intifada, which, isn't even that frequently chanted at rallies, but, the term intifada, the term from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, another chant, and they kind of say, this is calling for, this is an anti-Semitic chant calling for the, extermination of Jews or something like that, which is, totally not true and not the intent of those chants at all. So there's that, first of all, but they're also, like, for example, from the river to the sea is the chant that is calling for, a peaceful, democratic society within the area from the river to the sea, so including both Jewish people and Palestinians. So it's actually kind of the opposite of what they're kind of claiming it is. And the real reason they want to crack down on those slogans is because they're, pro-Palestine, Palestine solidarity, powerful chant that people say. So I don't really see their kind of targeting of certain chants actually going anywhere in terms of stopping this movement, but I think they could will give us creative ways to respond. But it's part of this broader narrative of trying to claim that the Palestine movement's anti-Semitic, which is just another lie that's been repeated continuously and disproven very clearly by the fact that there's so many anti-Zionist Jewish people who are involved and have set up a whole bunch of different groups across the country who are heavily involved in organising the protests and building the movement. And also just by the rallies themselves, the speeches, the fact that, anti-Semitism is always condemned, that, there's been no kind of violence from the movement at all. But there's been a lot of good journalism research into these Zionist groups, and they do have close ties with other far-right organisations in Australia, and they also have close ties with the Liberal Party and with parts of the Labor Party as well. So, while some of these kind of groups claim to just be, we're just representing Australian Jews, they're actually representing the most like far right hardcore Zionist sections of that community, and obviously there's been you know, sections of that community who have been radicalized against Palestine or throughout this process because of these really rich, well-funded Zionist groups. But there's also been huge sections of the Jewish community who have, you know, become anti-Zionist Jewish Jews throughout this, through seeing what Israel's been doing over the past 2.5 years. Because, I mean, it's just that the constant lie that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic, which is not the case, because, you know, Israel's a state. It's not representing all Jews worldwide. It's criticism of Israel is criticism of its policies, and it's a political criticism, not a racial criticism or a, you know, anti-Jewish criticism. So I think that's important to remember.
One other point that I'd be keen to get your comments on. So if you look back at the anti-Vietnam War movement, there are parallels there with the Palestine movement. It started out as a sort of fairly fringe thing. Then it started gaining a lot of traction. And once the Vietnam War protests started getting big, the police tried to stem this rising tide of public sentiment using sheer violence. And it didn't work. It just turned more of the public to supporting the cause and to seeing the violence of the police. And it seems like there's real parallels there. A majority of Australians are opposed to the genocide in Gaza, are opposed to Australian support for that, including weapons exports. And there's been massive rallies, as you've seen, we've been part of, and we've been covering here at 3CR. And it seems like Monday night was the state having a tantrum and trying to use raw violence to somehow push the thing back. And it's kind of counterproductive, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, we've seen these huge rallies, and I think one, I always point back to the Harbour Bridge March in August, which was kind of this flashpoint of 300,000 people marching across Harbour Bridge, and there were subsequent national rallies across the country that were huge as well. But those were, you know, if those 300,000 people, they're obviously not the same, not coming to every protest every week, because otherwise every protest would be that big. But that just showed that there's this broad layer of people in society who are, you know, have been following along and seeing what's happening and being outraged by what's happening in Gaza and the response of our people in government here and our complicity. And that was a flashpoint where everyone was kind of encouraged to come out and get to that protest, and it was absolutely huge. And then I think these rallies on Monday felt like another moment like that, where there was bringing in a lot of people who are saying, why the fuck are we inviting a genocidal president to come to visit Australia after everything that's happened? And so it came out for that rally, even if they hadn't been coming to the, you know, other rallies in the lead up type thing. But so I think knowing that's probably what the response is going to be from the general public, there's huge support for Palestine and condemnation of Israel, to smooth things over with their visitor, President Herzog. I can imagine that the Labor leadership and state governments are wanting to try and keep those protests restrained, and I think that's why they didn't want us to march in Sydney and
paid tribute to the visiting emperor by giving them a beating. Mm.
You know, we know what this guy likes. He likes Palestine protesters getting attacked, so it's given some of that. But yeah, I don't think it'll work to suppress the movement. I think it will, as you said, with Vietnam, it will just draw in more people who are outraged by the violence to then come out on the streets next time.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Isaac. Do you want to end on any kind of final comments? I mean, you probably said quite a lot already, but any kind of final comments you'd like to add before we finish up this interview?
I'd just say, like, make sure you're following your local Palestine group so that you can see when any upcoming rallies are happening. And Green Left also put up events on our calendar, greenleft.org.au/events, so you can kind of keep up to date with everything that's happening. There's definitely going to be more protests coming up, so make sure you get to them and bring your friends and family. That was one thing that Grace Tame said at the Sydney rally, was everyone here should go home from this rally and find 5 friends or family members or colleagues or whoever who can convince to come to the next rally. And that's how we can build it bigger and bigger next time. So, yeah, thanks for having me, and solidarity from Sydney.
Word. Cheers, Isaac.
Okay, thanks again, Isaac.